folks that knew the family and had been invited into the home to partake of the collection before them, this is what many walked away with upon seeing what had been gathered and collected in this household, a personal art collection. See, what you need to know is the father, over years, decades, had gathered all these fine works of art and antiquity. And it wasn't long, and it shouldn't be no surprise, really, that the son picked up on his father's affinity for fine art. In fact, if you were to walk into the house, you'd see a Van Gogh. You'd see a Picasso. You'd see a Rembrandt. You'd see a Monet. All gathered and collected in this one place. The day came when war and strife overtook the nation and the country. And as a result, the son was pulled into service to his country. Not long after, the dad received a telegram. And the telegram had a message that this father just did not want to hear. The message was that his son had given his life in service to his country and would not be coming home. Now take that in for a moment. It seemed like in an instant, the house went from one of joy and anticipation to one that was covered with other things like heartache, loss, grief, loneliness, and so on. In this house, with all these works of art, it seemed that following this tragic and horrific event, there was other stuff on the wall for this father. Maybe you've had that experience. Maybe this Advent and Christmas season, maybe just maybe there's been some things that have come into the lane of life for you. Where once things such as happiness and joy and excitement were all over the walls, now maybe it looks something like this. But wouldn't you know that things changed on Christmas morning, and here's why. As that father was sitting there remembering his son, he got a knock on the door. And when he went to the door, he was surprised to see a serviceman in his uniform, and he had a package in hand. And wouldn't you know that this was a friend of his son? And in a short exchange between the serviceman and the father learned this, that before his son had passed away, this friend, this fellow brother in arms, had painted a portrait of the son. And it was this gift that this man gave to this grieving father on Christmas morning. And wouldn't you know that as soon as this father received this portrait of his son, every other piece of art got pushed to the side, no matter how valuable it was, no matter how many millions of dollars were on the wall, all that got pushed aside. Why? So he could take in the image of his son. The next spring, the father himself passed away. And according to his will, there was to be an auction on Christmas morning where all these fine works of art and antiquity would be auctioned off. And so not long after, everybody gathered, and you can imagine everybody was chomping at the bit to be one to have access to the Van Gogh or the Picasso or the Rembrandt or the Monet and so on. But according to the will of the father, this is how the auction was to play out. The first piece up for auction, can you guess? Was the portrait of his son. Now, can you imagine for those who came to get access to the Picasso or the Monet or the Rembrandt or the Van Gogh or whatever, this was not the news they wanted to hear. So the auctioneer started off, and you've heard one of these guys or gals where, do I hear 5555577, sold. You know how this goes. Shortly after the portrait of the son was put up for auction, it was dead quiet. And wouldn't you know that the thing that broke the silence was a comment from someone in the back, and it was something like this: "Nobody's interested in the sun. We're here for the Van Gogh. We're here for the Picasso. Get on to the more valuable things." But the auctioneer, which, if you'd believe it, without skipping a beat, continued to lead off with this: "Now, who will take the sun?" See, he wasn't going to be moved or swayed by the ruckus out in the crowds for the Van Gogh or the Monet or the Picasso or whatever it was. His goal was to carry out the will of the Father. So he asked again, "Now, who will take the sun?" "Well, I have $10. Finally, someone from the back, a man, raised his hand up and said, "I'll offer $10. I knew him. He was a neighbor. I'll take it." So the auctioneer said, "Sold." And the next thing the auctioneer said caught everybody by surprise, took a lot of breath away. Because here's what he said next: "The auction is over." Now you can about imagine how blown away people were. I mean, after all, now that the portrait of the sun is out of the picture, they want access to the Van Gogh, to the Rembrandt, to the Monet, and so on. And do you know what the auctioneer said without skipping a beat? He said, "According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the sun gets it all." The man who had bid on the portrait of the sun was now a recipient of everything. Friends, that's the message of Christmas. It's a message that's not confined to December 24th or December 25th. It's the message that we hear in God's word. And this is an all-season message for all of God's people. And the message is just this: whoever takes the sun gets it all. The last several weeks during our Sunday morning sermon series, we've been taking a look at something called family life. We've been taking a moment to hit the pause button in the midst of our busy schedules and lives, yours and mine. And we've been able to take a snapshot of some of the families that God spoke into with his message of hope, forgiveness, and love through his son Jesus. And as we discovered and as we learned, the ones who received the son, you know what they get? They get it all. See, this is Mary's story. And maybe you know her story, and maybe you don't. Maybe you've heard bits and pieces, and I don't know what you've heard. So let me share it with you tonight so that we're all on the same page. Because what I want you to leave with tonight is just this: not a feel-good sentiment, not something that you can pack away and then take out next year, but I want to give you something that's with you all the time. And it's not something, it's someone. But let me start by sharing with you Mary's story, because Mary's story is also your story. Let me share this with you. Luke records this for us in chapter 1, and I encourage you to follow along on the screens up front. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was," what? "Joseph," good old Joe, "of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end.'" In a big way, this is the message of the angel to Mary, and this is the message to you and to me tonight. And you heard it before, and it's worth hearing again. Whoever takes the son in faith gets it all. God has a big picture plan through his son Jesus, and it's not confined to a space, it's not confined to an hour, it's not confined to a day. In fact, it is so big, it covers your all. covers whatever's on the mantle of your life tonight. It covers whatever's been put on the walls of your house and your heart and your mind, whether you've put it there, and even if somebody else put it there for you without your permission. You see, the message of Christmas is this: whoever takes the Son gets what? Gets it all, including hope. Verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I'm a virgin?" That's a great question. That's a fair question. Listen to what God says. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." You know what Mary does? Mary takes the son. Despite what else is going on in her life, and no matter how much the gossip might float around in this small backwater part of the world known as Bethlehem and Nazareth, Mary's going to take the son. Because the son, when he comes, bring everything Mary needs. Joseph, father-to-be. We hear this in Matthew 1. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Yesterday during our message, we talked about this. How maybe heartbreaking and devastating this was for Joseph to hear. "Yo, Joe, I got some news for you. I'm pregnant." Okay, gasp. "Don't worry, from the Holy Spirit." Double gasp. Can't help but wonder how much Joseph crumbled at Mary's feet, if not physically, maybe emotionally, because this wasn't his big picture plan for his life or their family. But what he didn't know and what he didn't realize he was doing was just this. He's trying to close a door that God was opening, but not just for Mary and not just for Joseph, but for you. Because the son who comes, he comes with everything. Everything you can't buy, everything you can't work for, everything you can't earn, the son brings to you free of charge because of his deep love for you. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means what? God with us. Yeah, not God far and removed. No matter how many of those Christmas songs we hear that portray God as some far and distant being, the message of Christmas is just this, that when Jesus comes, he comes to be where? With you. And no amount of brokenness, no amount of mistakes, no matter the harsh word, no matter the conversation, no matter the past, nothing pushes this son away from you. So Joseph hears it. Do you hear it? Whoever takes the son gets what? Gets it all. Verse 24, when Joseph woke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. You see, Joseph takes the son. Joseph, through faith, realizes there is a much, much bigger picture going on here. And while it might not fall in line with what he initially picked for himself, he submits himself and he surrenders to God's bigger plan in his life through Jesus. Friends, what about you? Has this Advent and Christmas season turned out to be what you hoped it would be? Is it what you penned it to be? Did your plans all come together? Did your shopping lists get completed? Did all the people come that were invited? Did some refuse? Did everyone receive your expressions of grace and love, or was that rejected with a closed door? See, I think God's people know what it's like to have their plans start to fade. But here's the thing. God's plan of hope for you in Jesus Christ doesn't fade. And there is nothing you or anybody or anything could ever do to crush that plan of God for you in his son Jesus. See, the message of Christmas is a story of Mary and Joseph, but it's also your story as well. And it's just this: whoever takes the son gets it all. Is there a place in your season of life to hear this message tonight? Will there be room tomorrow? How about December 26th? How about January 2019? You see, this is an all-season plan of hope for all of God's people. For those that are celebrating and happy and full of joy, but those who are grieving and feeling as though they've been slipping through the cracks. This is an all-season plan for you. Because whoever takes the son gets it all. John, one of Jesus' disciples and hand-chosen students, knows this full well. And he wants you to hear this tonight. And he writes it for us like this. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he says this: whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God, does not have life. Can you hear it again? Do you think sometimes God's people, myself included here, we need to be reminded? Because maybe, just maybe, you've had a full schedule. And maybe, just maybe, you've had just a second to breathe. Don't raise your hand, but I wonder if that's been your season. I wonder if that's been your last couple months. I wonder if you've begun to believe that that defines your year. Or maybe your life. Friends, God has a bigger plan for you. And it's through his son, Jesus. And his plan and his purpose is just this: whoever takes the son gets what? Gets it all. If I could ask you for a moment, what have you taken as of recent? If you think back to this past week, or maybe even today, what have you taken in? Stress? Maybe some anxiety. Maybe some fear about what's coming for that family get-together, or maybe what's going to happen after it's over. Maybe it's a question of where's the money going to come for that next bill. Maybe it's a question of what do I do now with this news the doctor gave me? So I think especially in this time of year, God's people absorb a lot of things. And maybe these are things that you never saw for yourself. Maybe these are things that you saw coming, but when they landed, boy. You see, I think God's people know what it's like to take in all kinds of stuff. And maybe, just maybe, in this season of Advent and Christmas, maybe you've had all kinds of people dumping all the wrong stuff into your life. And now you're here. And you're in this place of needing to have something different in your life. Because let's be honest, what's been going on before has not been working. And the more we take in all the wrong stuff, the more spiritually malnourished and broken we feel. And you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder if that describes your season of life. You've tried the thing, you've tried the substance, you've tried the other person, but it hasn't gotten you any better. So maybe it's time to try something else. Maybe it's time to take God at his word tonight and take what's been given to you and to me as a free gift. Maybe, just maybe tonight, it's time for you and for me to take something else. And it's not a thing, but it's a person who's not scared away by the things going on in your life and mine. A person whose forgiveness is just that, forgiveness. And when the debt is wiped clean because of what he's done, it's gone. The one who gives grace is just that. It's grace, no strings attached. And his love, there is nothing you could do or say to push his love away from you. See, friends, Matthew is very clear about this in his gospel. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. Matthew chapter 1, we hear this once again. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Matthew chapter 18, Matthew shares this with us, Jesus' words. Would you read this with me tonight? For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. God's promise to you. And if we know anything about God, when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And it's not because of what you do. It's always on the merits of him. Matthew 28, Jesus said this. Behold, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. See, the resounding refrain of all of Scripture is just this. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. And if you missed it all before and you missed all the Old Testament writings, then Jesus himself comes to deliver this message to you and to me in those places, those moments, those seasons, those situations when we need it most. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. Tonight, friends, we hear this invitation through God's word, through the working of the Holy Spirit. Take nothing else this season. And nothing else, no one else, but do this. Take the Son, Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight and we're full. We're full of all the wrong stuff. We've had so much poured into our lives this week and we are full. We've had things paid.